Shabbat Shalom. Hope you've all had a good week. Greetings from David. And Germany is enjoying his trip. 3 more weeks and then we'll be back together as a family. It's his first trip away from home, so it's exciting. Brethren, our spiritual maturing process as a disciple of Jesus Christ is to become more and more like him. Repentance means to change the way we think and to become one in the way our minds work with the way the minds of the Father and the Son work. Our Savior was praying during his last hours with his disciples, asking that they become one as he and the Father are one. There's a particular set of qualities of our Savior where I feel that I still have a long way to go to develop that set of qualities. So I'm giving this sermon to myself, hoping that it may also help some others. Part of our mission in the church is to attend to God's sheep and also to reach some of the lost sheep, to be tools in the hand of the great shepherd, allowing ourselves to be led to attend to any sheep God sends our way. And in order to do that, I want to talk about the qualities of a shepherd which may help us to develop some of those qualities in our own spiritual growth process. To get an idea of what God expects of a shepherd, and that includes us if we want to develop the qualities of a shepherd, we will look at some biblical examples of shepherds and what God has to say about them. Then I want to talk about the one true shepherd. I want to talk about shepherds of the future, kings and priests. And again, talk about the character traits of a good shepherd. Let's look at some past and present shepherds, or shall we say leaders. The first one scripture I want to turn to is in Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, and starting in verse 1. Jeremiah 23, and starting in verse 1, in going through verse 4. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord, God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings, says the Lord. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. So who are going to be some of those shepherds that he's going to set over the people? Hopefully we will be some of those. Let's turn to Ezekiel in chapter 34, Ezekiel 34, and starting in verse 1. First, he talks about the shepherds that are not doing the job they're supposed to do. Ezekiel 34, and starting verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up that was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So he describes the kind of shepherds that he does not care for. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, and they may no longer be food for them. And now he contrasts that with the shepherd that he is looking for, that he wants to see. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them from all the places where they were scattered, and on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk of the clear waters, that you must follow the residue with your feet? And as for my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have followed with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep, because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns, and scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the place all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their seasons. There shall be showers of blessing. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield their increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslaved them. And they shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. I will rise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles anymore. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. So the times of the bad shepherds will come to an end, and let's hope that we will be part of that time. In John, verse 21, we'll read an admonishment to the disciples here. In John, chapter 21, and starting verse 15 and 17. John Jesus talks to Peter. So when they eaten breakfast, they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to them the third time, "Simon, the son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him again, "Feed my sheep." So that is what we are expected to do. In Hebrews 13, verse 20, that helps us to fulfill that role. It says, Hebrews 13, verse 20, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will." He is the one that has to make us complete. He's the one that has to help us with those qualities. "Working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." That is part of developing his character traits of a good shepherd. So what does a good shepherd do? We just read about some of it in Jeremiah and in Ezekiel. Now let's look at the probably one of the most well-known Psalms in Scripture, Psalm 23. The first point is, a good shepherd takes care of our needs. In verse 1 of Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord my shepherd is my shepherd. I shall not want." We are admonished to practice that as well in James 2, verse 14 through 26. I don't need to go there. It's the well-known scripture where it talks about, don't tell people, be warm and be filled, and not take care of their needs. Also, practice that being a good shepherd means to, when we see somebody in need, that we help out as much as we can. Another quality is, he feeds us and gives us rest. It says here, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." I'm reminded of a hike down the Grand Canyon. About one third up, there's this little oasis there where it's all lush and green and nice cool water. I'm always reminded of that when I read this. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. The word restaurant comes from the word restore. You know, he restores my soul. Hospitality is a gift. It's a spiritual qualification. But he not only feeds us physically, he also feeds us spiritually, a true shepherd. So that's one of the qualifications of a good shepherd. Then he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He gives us his commandments, tells us to do good. He tells us to act in faith. He tells us to get baptized. That's one of the things we don't read much about in the Old Testament, of course, but also one of the requirements to fulfill his righteousness is eventually to become baptized after we have become followers of him. And as we heard last week, if we listen, he shows us and helps us to stay on the straight and narrow path. He also protects and comforts us. In Psalm 23, verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." That reminds me of a bushwalk I took in Africa one time. We were walking, and we had a guide. He had a spear. He took us to this waterhole, and I was wondering, what would happen if a lion came? Would he really use that spear and that staff to defend us? Or would he just run, knowing that he could probably run faster than we could? But that's certainly not our Savior. He would never, ever run. He would give his life for his friends. It means, are we looking out for each other? Comforting means talking about to people about helping them in their walk, helping people to see something from the right perspective, that can be very, very comforting. Psalm 23, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What does that mean? I think part of it, this is that he gives, in the end, he gives us honor when we please him. If we are not ashamed of him, he said, he will not be ashamed of us. You anoint my head with oil. He provides us with healing. As it says in Revelation 22, verse 2 also, in the middle of its street and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will be plenty of healing, natural healing, and of course his intervention for our, shall we say, supernatural healing. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we're told in Isaiah 58, verse 1, and I think this Psalm 23 to a large degree is also a prophetic psalm. Psalm 58, verse 8, it says, then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Now, these are some of the qualities of a good shepherd, and we need to remember them and think about how we can develop them in our lives, how can we can make them part of our character. There's some more qualities of a good shepherd, and let's turn to John, the book of John in chapter 10, and starting verse 1. There's a few things that we can look for here. Most assuredly, I say to you, starting verse 1, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep and goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them, again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have life abundantly, that they have it more abundantly. This is what a shepherd is. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he who is a hireling and not the shepherd, one who does not know, own the sheep, sees the wolf or the lion or whatever, coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I'm not going to run away. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings. They were astonished at what he was saying, because, of course, he was telling them that they were nothing like the good shepherds, the leaders of them. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of a blind? he was exercising some healing there. Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem in verse 22, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." The works, the fruits, by the fruits you will know people. And you know shepherds also by their fruit. "But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Again, they know me by my fruits. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Here again, some qualifications of the Good Shepherd. The shepherd knows his sheep. Brethren, we cannot have the characteristics of a shepherd if we do not know the brethren, if we do not know the sheep. It takes to getting to know each other to fulfill that role. It takes sacrifice. Our Savior is sacrificing for the sheep. And that's why the sheep recognize him. Again, they know him by their fruits. As we read earlier in Ezekiel, God points out what the shepherds have not done. It also provides us a list of qualities of what a good shepherd should do. Ezekiel 34, verse 4, "The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them." Okay, it says here, they have not strengthened the weak, so what do? We strengthen the weak. That's one of the characteristics. Sometimes we may not know how to strengthen the weak. And I may have shared this story before. I remember we were out in Salt Lake City. We were involved in feeding some homeless people, and I got to talk to them a little bit, and one of them said, "Well, I'm not part of the homeless anymore. I got out of this. I got myself off the street." And I said, how did that happen? What helps you to get off the street?" "Well," she said, "it's a lot of self-will, a lot of determination." And I said, that sounds good. That's what I've always believed, you know, good old conservative beliefs that you just decide for yourself. You get off the street and you get off the street. But then I was wondering, well, what does it take to get off the street? And she said, "A lot of love and encouragement." Brethren, that's a quality of a shepherd that every one of us, if we want to, can exercise to give people a lot of love and encouragement. That's what a shepherd does. He heals those who are sick physically and emotionally. When I had broken a leg, I realized one thing, and I think it applies to a lot of emotional wounds as well. It takes time to heal. So we have to give people time to heal. And even once the bone is healed, it takes stretching and strengthening the muscles to get back complete range of motion and full use of the leg or the hand or whatever is broken. And we cannot take shortcuts. We have to go through the good physical therapy to make it work well. And I think the same thing is true for emotional wounds. We have to stretch our thoughts, our minds, in order to heal emotionally. And we can act if we want to be like a shepherd, like a physical therapist who gives people encouraging words, words to focus on what is right in order for them to heal. But again, it takes time. There's no shortcuts. It says, talks about bind up the broken. Again, that has to do with healing. And let's remember the Good Samaritan, what he did. And what it means really is sometimes to be in the trenches. Something that I've had to learn and I'm still learning. I have lived in a cocoon a little bit when I grew up. Yes, my dad was involved. He did some volunteer work for a couple of orphanages, and we had some interactions with some orphans. But at that time, as a young teenager, I was more thinking about the fact that some of the girls were cute than really their situation. But later on in the church, I had to learn a lot because you're exposed to a lot of different people from all walks of life, people you would normally maybe never run into. Or when I sold insurance for a while and I realized the very desperate situations that some people have, when they scrape together the last pennies so they can, you know, buy a life insurance so that they can bury their son with dignity, things like that. Again, there's a lot that we can learn, but we don't learn it. We don't realize it, where the needs are, the needs for shepherds, unless we get into the trenches ourselves. But when we go into the trenches and we see all the needs, we yearn for the kingdom even so much more. And our focus is becoming from shifting away from, we were shifting away then from our own comfort zone and our own pleasures and shifting away towards focusing on what the needs of other people are. For example, at the feast, we say, oh, it pictures the millennium. Yes, it pictures the millennium for us. Does it picture the millennium? Does our behavior at the feast and our interaction with people, with waitresses, for example, or staff members at a hotel or whatever, does our interaction with them give them a foretaste of the kingdom also? We can think about that if we want to practice having the characteristics of a shepherd. Let's turn to Mark 8. Mark 8 and reading verse 30. Then he charged them that they should tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, after 3 days rise again. And he spoke this word openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, I must have picked the wrong verse here. I'll just finish that. Get thee behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Again here, a shepherd is willing to lose his life for his sheep. And we must be willing, if need be, to give up our comfortable life. We can do the best we can. We can make sacrifices. It is really something we all can do. Even if we're new in the faith, you can still set a good example. And I'm thinking about the Bickles, for example. They have not been in the church for all that long, but the way they acted like shepherds when they stood by a family that was in need a few weeks ago or a few months ago. They acted like they were shepherds. Yeah, brethren, we don't have to wait. I remember when I first came here, I was in a restaurant one winter night. By myself, I was just sitting at the table. I was waiting for a couple of colleagues, but at the time, at the other end of the restaurant, there were the Bickles. They saw me and came over and said, "Why don't you join me? Join us." They didn't realize I had other people coming. But anyway, brethren, even if we are new, even if we're young in the faith, we don't have to be pastors in order to develop the qualities of a good shepherd. We all fall short, brethren. We are also inadequate. But God promises that he will make up the difference, brethren, when he sees that we have the right attitude. We must always remember what separates the sheep from the goats. And I went into that a little bit more in Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46. You can all read that by yourself. So let's remember what separates the sheep from the goats. Another quality is bringing back what was driven away. And that's part of our mission as well in the church. We have some here in this group who grew up in the church, left for a long time, and have come back. And we must be ready to attend to those sheep. And part of this, maybe tending to the sheep, is also not to cut ourselves off from people who may not be in our fellowship, but who may be in some other fellowship. And I'm not necessarily talking about uniting organizationally, but building bridges with people. And I know some of you have done this and are doing it. And it would be a good thing if it would not just happen at funerals. At least we should try to fellowship and stay in touch with those who have some of the same set of core beliefs as we do. Again, it says in Galatians 6, verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. A good shepherd does good to all, especially to the sheep. Brethren, many shepherds of the past and present have failed the sheep. There's a lot we can learn from what God is telling us in his word about shepherds. And as the world around us is fast deteriorating, we need to grow and become more and more like our Savior and look to the future, nurturing the hope that our chief shepherd will be here soon to take care of his sheep. Let us prepare ourselves today to become like the chief shepherd and be admonished by the chief shepherd. If you love me, feed my sheep. And let's do it to his glory and not our own.